very first mitzvah of Aseres HaDibros is Emuna, Anocha Hashem Elokecha. It's listed by the Rambam as the mitzvah in Emuna. This is something which is hard for us to understand, both in the technical halachic aspect of it, and also somewhere in the practical aspect. In the technical aspect of it, it is one of the things that is not clear. How can there be a mitzvah of emunah? Is there a mitzvah of emunah? There are rishonim that don't list it as a mitzvah, for the simple reason that there's a conundrum here. If a person believes, we don't need to command him to believe. And if a person doesn't believe, then commanding him to believe is not going to make a difference. Every commandment, it rests on an assumption that the person believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believes in Torah Sinai, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him to do something. But the mitzvah to believe is something that sort of doesn't make any sense. And that's why many Rishonim don't learn it. That is a technical issue. There's also the issue of trying to understand what exactly emunah is. Does it mean to learn about it and to prove it and to bring proofs? I mean, certainly that's a piece, a possible piece of the puzzle, but emunah is usually something which deals with a change in ourselves, something that is more than just a calculation of a dry truth. I also want to pose something, I guess a type of, what's the right word for it, a picture of how this, the idea that emunah is a technical issue of whether or not we believe the results of something to be true or not, sort of a scientific question, is not at all the issue. Let's take an example. A person sits back and he ponders the existence of Hashem, the existence of a God who's running the world, etc. Now, the tzaddik v'ra'lo, the fact that bad things happen to good people, one of the oldest issues in Yiddishkeit, or not Yiddishkeit, religion, is something which people struggle with, but we'll assume that many people feel that despite that, still, one believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one has his way of dealing with it and so on. That same person who has very rationally decided that, yes, there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though bad things happen to good people, there are many reasons and many answers and we don't understand and so on and so forth. When something Chas V'Shalom happens to him, so all of a sudden the person is in a very, very different state of mind. All of a sudden he buckles under that stress. This is exactly what happened with Eov. Eov was a very big believer, he was a very big tzaddik, and when something bad happened to him, he really fell apart. And no one can blame him in his, in his difficulty. But what happened exactly? He knew all these things before. The question of bad things happening, so maybe they were not as bad as what happened to him, but still, maybe let's say half of his tzaras would happen to somebody else. But that's very, very different. The rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when somebody suffers and struggles, is a real issue. I would like to push that question further a little bit and try to understand the purpose of that struggle at emunah. Let's take as an assumption that the tachlis of Torah, mitzvahs, etc. is to make a person a better person. And we struggle with our guf. We have a lot of cravings, we have laziness, selfishness, etc. And the purpose of Torah mitzvahs is to overcome that. And we work hard, we struggle and so on. So that the understanding this is what we're supposed to do should be a given. Let's give sort of a parallel. The army is a framework where people get told what to do. They get the quote-unquote commandments. So the one commandment, the one thing that's a given is you're a loyal citizen, you belong to America, you you know, believe in it 100%, and then you are tested with grueling marches and very, very difficult field conditions, etc., to bring out the most in you. Would it not have made sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have placed us in this world with a surety of emunah, and then given us the whole list of Tariq mitzvahs? Now, yes, a person can choose to ignore because he wants to do aveiras, but that's not really the process most of the time. Most of the time, it's just a weakening of emunah. Why is emunah so difficult? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made nisim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made all sorts of nisim and it flows, then stopped forever until Achrus Hayamim. Wouldn't it make sense to have first emunah and then you know, it's a solid emunah, unquestionable emunah, and then have the tests and all the issues more on the accomplishing, on the doing what a person is supposed to do, and that's where we struggle with our guf. Those are issues that surround emunah and make emunah sort of an unclear sense of what we're doing. One of the problems of translating things into English is that translations are never exact. In other words, every word that describes an idea, a concept, so a word that describes a table, so a table is a table is a table, it's the same no matter how you say it. But when you're talking about a concept, the concepts defy easy transition into other languages, because a concept carries in itself a certain group of associations. This and this belongs under justice, and it's something that in each culture is unique, and therefore what the words arouse in a person, the sentiments and the feelings and so on, the description varies. And that's why we have a very hard time when we come to translations of things that are conceptual to really get it right. And this is one of the reasons why learning Lashon Kodesh is preferred over learning in English. Let's take the word emunah. The word emunah in if it's translated as belief, is a, or even faith, belief, but certainly it's translated as belief, it refers to a certain understanding that we hold to be true. That is a segment of what the word emunah means. That's not the right way of describing the core meaning of the word emunah. The word emunah means ki be'emunah hem osim, a pasuk. It means with integrity, honesty, people who are gizber hegdish, officials who took care of the finances of Beis Hamikdash, did all their work honestly with integrity. So the word emunah very much goes to that. The word ne'eman means somebody who can be relied upon, a trustee. The word ne'eman is a trustee. Vayi yodav emunos ad boka, his hands were true, faithful, reliable, things of that nature. The word loyalty also, the word ne'eman as loyal is something that is part of that same family of things. So honesty, trustworthiness, faithful to a person, all of that, integrity, all that seems to go under the rubric of emunah, ne'manis. So what exactly How would we describe their manas? And more than that, I'd like to describe it in a way that is part and parcel and maybe the root of everything that is everything that is what we would call spiritual Torah mitzvah. I'd like to focus on a word, loyalty. What does the word loyalty mean? We think of loyalty as being a very positive term. What exactly is loyalty? So let me first use, there's a Rabbeinu Bechaya that says that, I'm rephrasing it a bit, but I'm saying it a bit in my own words, but I'm giving the following illustration. It speaks about Akar Satov and, you know, the importance of Akar Satov, no matter how much time has passed. Let's give it a real description. Imagine a person donates to an institution $1 million. I know $1 million is not a lot of money today, but he donates $1 million. So we're very, very grateful, and we roll out the red carpet and so on and so forth. A lot of gratitude, a lot of grateful, so on and so forth. 5 years have passed. This person hasn't given any money since then. And now I'm short $25,000. And somebody comes along and gives me $25,000. So if I were to calculate in a very dispassionate way, I would say, well, the first guy gave $1 million, it's the equivalent of $200,000 every year for 5 years. So it's as if he gave me this year $200,000. The other person gave me $25,000. So it's about 10 times as much gratitude I should owe the first person. And the second person, I should reflect that. That's not the way we work. We will still give our cards to the first person, but the second person is disproportionately treated more positively. He's the giver of today. He's the donor of today. The other person is the donor of yesteryear. The reason it's our mind works like that, our perception works like that, because the difference between the world of Ruchnius and Gashmius is, Ruchnius deals with eternal truths unaffected by time. That's Ruchnius. Gashmius, physical world, is very time bound, and everything exists within a segment of time. And therefore, the now becomes much more important than the yesterday. In other words, the truth, in a very fundamental spiritual way, is truth that is above time, is essential. Perception of what is very different, very time-bound. This is really the core of Ruchnius and Gashmius. Almost all the things the Torah prohibits are things that right now are extremely attractive, pleasant, whereas Ruchnius exists beyond that time. More than that, let's give it, it automatically means the Ruchniistic truth is the hidden truth, and the physical truth is the apparent truth. The physical truth is what seems, it's the external layer of truth, whereas the spiritual truth is internal, it's something which its metzias is always existent, and it's hidden. So you have the hidden being the eternal and the essential, and the apparent being the visible, the fleeting, and the coincidental or just happens to be now, but not the essential truth. That is really the split between the spiritual world and the physical world. Let's take it in terms of loyalty. Let's understand what loyalty is. Imagine somebody gives me business day in, day out, where I get $1,000 of business every week from him. So I, you know, he's the person that I give the best deal to, whatever it is that, however I describe my relationship. Somebody comes along with a one-time deal where he's going to give me $10,000 worth of business, but I have to ignore the guy with $1,000 of business. I'd be very tempted to do so because there's $10,000 in front of me. But the other one is adding up to $50,000 a year. Where's the proportion? The answer is $10,000 now is extraordinarily tempting, and I don't have those feelings towards $1,000. So let's talk about money. Let's describe it in terms of feelings. A person has friends. So let's say casual friends. So I like Yankel. Yankel has a great sense of humor, makes great jokes and so on and so forth. So whenever I'm, if I want to look around and sit next time, I sit next to Yankel because great guy. Now Beryl comes along and Beryl's wittier and this and that, so I go to Beryl. I was looking for something which I'm looking for entertainment, and Beryl's giving better entertainment. Loyalty would not possibly come into play. Let's say a person has a deep relationship with somebody. A person has a spouse whose the relationship, it goes beyond the, is my spouse entertaining and fun? The relationship is extremely deep. So yes, it started maybe with the simple and the outward, but we built a relationship. If I'm tempted by somebody else, that's disloyal. Loyalty is something which is the ability to relate to the panemius, to the essential, rather than what happens to me right now. A person has a child. A person always remains loyal to that child, because even though the other child might be brighter, nicer, whatever it is, but there's some panemistic connection to this child. My loyalty is not sort of, I've always been the father to this child, so I'll remain a father to this child. Loyalty is because I'm a father to this child. Even now, even though I gave birth to him 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago, this is my child. And yes, on the chitzonius, there may be somebody more easily likable, fun, whatever you want to call it, but my kesher lies with that panemius. That's what the word emunah really describes. It describes loyalty, but not the way loyalty is understood as kind of a status quo. He's always been giving me business. I've always liked him. I've always had fun with him. I've always been married to this person, so might as well just continue. A kind of loyalty is a vague phrase where we sort of feel it's right, but to put a finger on his heart, loyalty means that we perceive the panemius that exists now. That panemius may have started with chitzonius a long time ago, but now it's panemius, and now it's emes, and now it's real. It's just like, let's take a scientific example. A person will study certain laws of physics and will feel them to be true and right, that perpetual motion is impossible. And then there will be all sorts of gadgets that they'll test the person and say, well, tell me why this perpetual motion machine doesn't work, why this one doesn't work, why that one doesn't work. There's never a question about a person that it's not working. The question is just, well, why does it look like it's working? So emunah is the being able to relate to the essential truth rather than apparent truth. It is true about beliefs. It is true about commitments. It's true, Lamashal, in terms of a trustee. So let's take the example of a ne'eman, meaning a trustee, and a kibemunem oisim, as far as money goes. Somebody lends me $1 million. So at the moment that he lends it to me, I clearly perceive it as his money. It's his money. He lent me $1 million. As soon as it put into my pocket, the other person's ownership is no longer apparent, and it's now sitting in my pocket, and it becomes more and more glued to my pocket. So in terms of, it appears to be mine. I've used it, I've invested, etc. people, when they have to return a loan, almost feel as if they're being robbed. They almost feel as if they have to give their money, even though the bills are quote unquote marked the other person's. But as soon as it's in my pocket, it's not. The honest and faithful person is honest because the reality of this being somebody else's money remains here and now. That is emunah, neman, in terms of money. The ability to perceive the essential truth, which tends to become covered up with time and become further and further from my line of sight, from my sense, from my physical sense of things, that's emunah. So let's go back and understand the test of emunah and so on, and what emunah is and what a test is. There was a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made great miracles, and leading up to Kriyas Yamsuf and Har Sinai. Those events were events that were as clear as could be. The Metzias Habore, the emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to people, of giving them commandments, and everything. Those events are essential truths, and standing at that moment and looking at logically, those truths are enduring. But that disappeared, and natural events began to cover over those events, and the world started going, the world resumed immediately to a very normal existence, and things went on and went on and went on and went on. Now, the question is, do the events of now cover up those absolute truths that we discovered then? That is emunah. It's a deeper test in terms of than just it's not just an intellectual test, which in itself is hard to really say. It's hard to say that emunah is just an intellectual test, because the person made an honest mistake. The question is not proving and disproving. The question is retaining a loyalty to something that he knows exists be'etzem. And that's why the difference between someone else's suffering and my suffering. Someone else's suffering is an intellectual question. So therefore, I could give the answer. I could say, yes, you know, I know you're suffering, but it's a tikkun, it's an isoyan, it's something we don't know. All of those, because as long as I'm dealing with just an intellectual issue, so fine, there are answers for it. When a person's going through a tough time himself, that's an issue that's testing his loyalty. Just like when a person has a difficult marriage, so there's the tkufa that sort of made the marriage, you know, that established the marriage, and then there's the difficult tkufas, and those difficult tkufas, they fray the midah of loyalty. They fray the midah of nemanus. At some point I say, no, this is not the person I married, and so on. The midah that gets tested in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things are difficult is the midah of ne'emanus. Emunah is really the real core of emunah is loyalty in the sense of sticking to the eternal and essential, despite the fact that the visible and the present day experience is very different. It's just like we gave a mashal about Shalom Bayis issue. A mother will stick to a child despite a lot of really, really stressful situations. It's something that it's because somewhere along the line they're holding on to the my child. That's what they're holding on to. And all the layers of how, quote-unquote, my child is acting now is an outer shell, because down deep I feel there's my child. So the mitzvah of emunah, anochi Hashem Elokecha, is given not as a commandment. The words are given anochi Hashem Elokecha as a statement. The emunah is to remain faithful to that statement, whose truth was 100% apparent to us collectively as Kal Yisrael. We stay attached to that, and that statement doesn't that's, and to hold on to that statement as the truth we knew to be essential is the trick of emunah. I want to say one more. There's another way in which this expresses itself in a very surprising way, and that would be the exact opposite. It says in the Sifri, says Kela Muna Ein Avol, God is a God who is faithful, so he does no wrong. So, you know, emunah in that sense would, I guess, in the Pshuto Shemekra, be integrity of some sort. The Sifri says Shehemin Ba'olam Ubra'o, or Shehemin Ben Evrav, he believed in the world and created it. What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in the world? You know, we can use that phrase in a, kind of colloquial way. Yeah, I believe in you can do it. For me, the emunah is meaningful because I do live with not a lack of clarity. So do you believe in him means, I don't know, you know, this person does good things, bad things, so I will say that the sum total of what he does is good. Fine, that's emunah in my sense. What does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu believed in the world? Kel emunah. I think what it means is, there's a pasuk in the Navi that we say in the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, Koyam Hashem Zachartu Lo Chesed Nurayich Avas Chosayich. I remember the kindness or the good of your youth, the love that was there when we became united. Zacharias Kireno Nu Hashem, I will remember it. In other words, man also has different layers. There's the essential person, and then there's the person as he's gone through different years. A bezin shalmata, the bezin by us, is not allowed to look not at the past, not at the future. If somebody does an avera, saying I'll do tshuva, bezin says that's fantastic, but the punishment is still there. We don't deal with futures. If I come to bezin, if I did an avera, and I say, but I was such a wonderful tzaddik, for 80 years I was crying gadol, so yeah, now I'm a little bit cutting corners, but that's something. As far as bezin is concerned, it's nothing. Ein l'dayan al masha ein avros. Dayan must deal with present reality. That is what emes in this world is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu zef emida, zachartu lo chesed nurayich, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us as at the essential self and the present self. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts our essential self as the quote-unquote real self. And he can look at us through that lens. That is the midah of emunah. He is loyal, quote-unquote, to our real self and perceives the temporary issues as being temporary issues. That's a very, very special midah that really, really it allows the world to exist. And in a sense, is the beginning of the redemption of the world, because if I feel I have what to build on, I can deal. It's just like a patient. If you feel that down deep the person is healthy, as viable, but he has issues, we tend to want to deal with the issues. If we feel that something essential is gone, we give palliative care. That's, you know, that's called a treifa in Chazal. Al kapanim, emunah is the core of Torah, not just technically, mechanically. Well, if you don't believe, then how can you keep the mitzvahs? Emunah is the ability of a person, the attribute of a person, to have a ruchnistic perspective on the world. a perspective of emes on the world. Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu means, and that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will no longer do miracles, because the real faculty we need to develop is emunah. Means you know the truth, you saw the truth. So what do I care that today the truth is different tomorrow? Well, I know perpetual motion machines don't work. So what do I care if somebody walked in with a very, very fancy looking machine with a lot of mathematical formulas and quote unquote is showing me an absolutely viable perpetual motion machine? It's just for fun. I'll scratch my head and try to figure out where the illusion is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megal himself in an emes and in a way that is clear. Things, there are illusions and mirages as time goes on. In my own life, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. I know that I live and breathe and think and feel and so on because HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then there are tkufis when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself, is hidden from us. That's a test of emunah, it's a test of perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the survival, it's a mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, like every other mitzvah that he expects of us, is a mani af hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mahu af ata, actually. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world and deals with us based on our essential self rather than our present or fleeting self. The mitzvah of Emunah is, belongs to that category of faith, trust, loyalty, etc. These are not just kind of Hakaras HaTov, that loyalty. Well, you were nice to me a year ago, 2 years ago, I guess I ought to be nice to you now. It's recognizing the timeless emes. Recognize the emes as it is, without it being, without the distortion that time does to a human being.